Ashes, I always think this is really very early in the morning for me. I mean, to sing. But this is our last week. I've really enjoyed singing stuff. I'd like to sing one song again that's new, and I'm going to cheat and do another one later, after this one, in fact, that I did on the very first Monday. Mainly because I've run out of songs. This one, in fact, is written by a fellow called Ray Stevens. Now, he's written some tremendous songs, really. One was called Mr. Businessman, which if I knew the chords, I'd have done that one. And he's written lots of other songs that have great sort of depth of meaning. And this one, he must have had a sort of rather honest moment when he wrote it, because it's a song called Have a Little Talk with Myself. Lately, I've noticed all my friends avoiding me. And that girl who loves me, she's up and said goodbye. My whole world is coming apart and it's tumbling in on me. And I guess deep down I know the reason why. Lately, I've been living for nobody else but me. And I let my selfish ego take command. Lately, I've been giving in to pride and vanity. I guess I let it take the upper hand. And I think it's just about time I had a little talk with myself. Had a little talk with myself. A little private conversation, a little self-examination, a little attitude correction, a little soul-searching inspection. Start heading in the right direction. Take a little walk. Have a little talk with myself. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. She hadn't wrote that bit. I've placed importance on all the wrong things in this life, and my outlook's got a twisted point of view. Well, all you reap with the vanity is the heartache inside. Without love and friendship, you can't make it through. And I think it's just about time I had a little talk with myself. Had a little talk with myself. A little private conversation. A little self-examination. A little attitude correction. A little soul searching inspection. Start heading in the right direction. Analyzing, criticizing, realizing, recognizing, itemizing. Have a little talk. Have a little talk to myself. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Take a little walk. Have a little talk with myself. Remember, I think what he's trying to say is that quite often when our friends desert us, it isn't simply because we have B.O. But in fact, there's perhaps something a little bit deeper than that. And I think what he was trying to say was that most of us, if we're honest, can own up that there's, you know, loads wrong with our lives. And perhaps we all have a quiet little time with ourselves just to figure out what we're doing and what we are not doing. Now, the song that's going to be my cheat. This is a song I wrote called Yesterday, Today, Forever, and it's not really a cheat, because I felt that I would like to sing it again, as it is a song that I felt is the only song that I've ever really written that I felt I wanted to record. And it simply says that Jesus is the Son of God, and not just another good guy that passed by in history. Thank you. When did you become the topic of conversation? When did you become the country's popular myth? Seems that overnight you caught everybody's attention. Everybody sings about you, and your name bounces off their lips. When did you become superstar of this generation? When did you become commercial property? Everybody's got their own sweet Lord, hear them sing. Georgie H. Sweet James T. Now, were you a guru, a godly man, or were you a genius, the best in the land? Everybody's got an interpretation. They won't take your word, but want to put their hand in your hand. I read in the paper that you were back in fashion amongst famous men. You are high on the list. Won't they realize that fashion's a passing fancy? The truth is, yesterday, today, forever you'll be staying. Yesterday, today, forever, never wavering. You stated who you were, and that'll never change. Like it or not, you'll always be the same Son of God. Giving life in return for life. Giving love in return for love. Giving all but demanding all our concentration, our thought, our love, our faith and beliefs, the whole of our lives.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes. You usually do.
You've made a name for being a public Christian, I suppose.
Well, yes, I have done, really. But I suppose it was like Billy Graham could say, when I took life and limb in my hand and sort of said I was a Christian.
Can I ask you, do you pray?
Oh, yeah. Regularly. I really think that probably prayer is one of the most important facets of the sort of private Christian life, that when you think about it, it's our one way of communication with God, that is direct from, you know, me to Him. And so therefore to actually not pray, I think, would be to really neglect something that's really vitally important. I think that if we want to find out what God has in mind for me or any individual, then we have to talk with Him about it. And if this business about being a Christian is a relationship, then talking is part of the relationship. And therefore prayer, I feel, it's really vitally important. I mean, I know that in my career, for instance, there's one big decision I took prior to prayer, and that is I decided I'd leave the show business. And I say that, then I met my Christian friends and I began to pray about it very hard. And I had the most embarrassing thing of in fact, I believe God really did make it very, very plain that I shouldn't leave. I'd sort of gone about and sort of gone to a teacher training college and said, I've got Mo levels, and I want to teach. And they said yes, and I took an O level in RI, and I passed, and I cancelled my fan club, and I called the press together. And I don't remember actually sort of actually praying about the whole thing. I just felt it was the right thing to do. Now, when we all started to pray very hard about that I should do the right thing, almost instantly, I was offered a film for the Billy Graham organization, I was asked, because I was a Christian, to play in a Christian film, I was asked to make a gospel album, because I had always insisted I wouldn't ask, let them ask me, I thought, because otherwise they'll think I'm just trying to push everything on top of them. And they did that. Then I was offered 6 television shows, and I suddenly felt that as soon as we started to actually think about it and pray to God and say, look, make me do the right thing, please, all the doors kind of opened up in a different direction. And I had the very embarrassing time of having to call the press together and say, listen here, I am not giving it up. But it's an incident that's very large in my memory, in my mind, and always will be, because it was one of the first times that I really got involved in praying about something that was very personal to me, and it changed things. It changed my whole attitude to what I was praying about.
Do you only pray when you get a big thing like that?
Oh, no. I think the fantastic thing about prayer is the fantastic thing about God is that although he's so great and huge, he still has time for individual personal things or whenever we feel like it. I mean, I've often thought about things when I've been getting ready to go on stage and just whisper them up there. I mean, one doesn't even have to mouth them out vocally. One's only got to think a prayer, and it could be on any topic or any subject or any problem or someone else's problem, which is probably the best way to pray anyhow.
You know, the difficult thing about questioning you is every time I try to question in, you go on talking.
I'm sorry. I do ramble on a bit.
Do you have set times when you pray as well? Do you think it's important to pray regularly or not really?
Well, no, I do. I think in fact, with the Christian life, I think there has to be a certain amount of discipline, self-discipline. And I think, for instance, it doesn't bother me how often I read the Bible a day or a month or a year, but I think it's got to be regular. I mean, I do it nightly, and I tend to sort of pray at a certain time each day, regardless. But that doesn't stop me thinking about things and praying at other times of the day when you're driving along, and you could well be swearing at some other driver, and I often think, "Wait, that's no doubt."
Do you feel, Phil, that there's something definitely happens when you pray too? I mean, you said God does answer you.
Oh yes, I think. You see, a lot of people might say this is one could sort of rub this out psychologically, but I think, you see, when one prays, one is really unburdening oneself. And I think, even take it psychologically, it is a great release to the individual who's praying. So it has an instant reaction anyway, regardless of whether you pray for a stroke of lightning and it doesn't happen or not. Do you know what I mean? But I still think that when
you pray for that all.
No, never pray for lightning. But obviously, I mean, one could probably list a string of things which might be mundane to you, but have been important in my Christian life, my connection with Crusaders. I know we pray as a group together quite a lot, and we've had tremendous results from that prayer. And so therefore one can only say that, you know, with all these things happening, it's got to be for real, and I feel it's real, and make use of it regularly.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Nika. Can I come back for another song in a moment? Yes. And just before Cliff sings again, I'd like to introduce a very distinguished-looking personality, author, preacher, lecturer, also assistant rector of this church, Mr. Ian Barclay, who just wants to say a few words very quickly. Very brief, I think.
I can say if it were 6:15 on a Saturday night, and I could beg, steal, or borrow a microphone, I might say it's good news and bad news time. The bad news first. Thank you. I must have got some fans too. The bad news first. The bad news is that this is the last of a series of 4, so for the time being at least, no more Cliff and David here at St. Helens. And for us that work in the city, that's bad news indeed. The good news? Well, really, that's what Cliff has been singing and talking about, and David has been preaching about on the past 4 Monday lunchtimes of February. So just from us in the city to Cliff, and David, thank you very much for visiting us. We've enjoyed your company very much, and somehow Mondays are never going to seem the same. Thank you.
you go ahead.
Well, actually, they didn't. We had a sheet before with a couple of songs on them, and we've sung songs altogether. That is, two movies on the trot, and they didn't have one this week. So I thought there's one that I'm sure everybody knows the chorus of anyway, and that's "It Is No Secret." And there's a kind of a. So I assume people do know it. Listen, if you want to sing the verses and you know the verses, well, please do. If not, I'll just plod along on the verse parts of it. And when I nod my head, everybody hit it, yeah? The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Now was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
With arms wide open.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't you run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
With arms wide open.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
With arms wide open once again.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
During the last 3 Mondays, we've been looking at various things that Jesus says that he can do for people. He can give them life, he can give them forgiveness, he can give them a new sort of purpose. And today, I want to speak a little bit about what he has to say about two different kinds of life. He says, on the one hand, there are those whose lives are useful, on the other hand, those whose lives are useless. And everybody will fall into one category or the other. He talks about two roads. One is broad, the other is narrow, and everybody is on one or the other. He talks about two houses. One's on the rock, the other's on the sand, and everybody's got one or the other. He talks about two kinds of tree. One produces good fruit, the other produces bad fruit, and everybody is like one of those trees. And so he comes and he says, what kind of life do you want to have? If you want to have the right kind of life, it's up to you, because I can make it possible if you will only let me. Now, it's extraordinary what some people will do with their lives. I was reading the other day of a man in Bo in Yugoslavia. It sounds an appropriate name. Bo in Yugoslavia. And he there has eaten 22,500 razor blades, 1 ton of brassware, cutlery, nuts, bolts, and other assorted ironware, and he has just bought a bus, which he intends to eat in the next 2 years. Well, I can think of better and more useful ways of spending your life. I noticed that some years ago, the Pennsylvania Superior Tube Company produced what they said was the world's smallest tube. And Ackles and Pollock, a British tube investment firm, sent back the Pennsylvania Superior Tube Company's model with one of their own threaded through the center. And following that, there was a sort of competition to see who could produce the best tube. Most recently, Ackles and Pollock produced their world record winner, which was 0.000515 of an inch. Apparently, 2.5 million of them could be fitted inside the average wedding ring, provided your finger is an average-sized finger. And you needed an electromicroscope to be able to see that there really was a hole down the center. Apparently, previous prize-winning tubes have been used for inoculating flies, but they're not quite certain what this particular one will be particularly good for. Now, it's interesting how some people seek to spend their lives involved in the most useless of activities. And as I look at the New Testament, I find that all sorts of people came to Jesus and they said, well, now, what should we be really doing with our lives? I don't know whether you've ever asked yourself that question. That's the question, I suppose, that Cliff was posing with his first song. What should I really be doing with my life? Now, one man came running to Jesus and he really asked this question. But he put it in a slightly different way. He said, which is the most important law of God? Now, this was a sort of competition that used to go on amongst Jewish theologians. In fact, one Jewish theologian had once said, stand on one leg and summarize the whole of the law. Now, the Jewish law ran into about 5 volumes, and there were 31 different interpretations of the 10 commandments. And so to summarize the law while standing on your leg would certainly make you quite a remarkable looking character, I think, by the time you'd finished. And Jesus, when this man comes up and says, what is the essence of what God wants of me, gave a very simple answer. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. That's life. That's what will make you useful. Now, you may say that wasn't very original, because in fact he'd taken 2 quotations that had been going for hundreds of years. One came from the book of Deuteronomy, one came from the book of Leviticus. But nobody had ever put them together before. And Jesus came and he said, those two are the important ones. The second thing that is interesting, and that is that nobody before had ever said that love is the key to doing what's right. And now Jesus said, love is the secret. But now, just in case you think of love in terms of bang, bang, bang somewhere down here, or what the emotions of the pop songs very often seem to suggest, now I straight away say that love is clarified by how Jesus goes on. It's something that you do with your heart, yes. It's, I hope you do love with your heart, that is, with your emotions, with your affections. And it's right to love God with your emotions and your affections. I love it when I find somebody who says, I love Jesus. And they mean it with their heart. But someone who just loves with their emotions is not going to have the kind of love that Jesus is talking about, because he talks about love that is done with the mind. And that's not in the pop songs. He talks about love that is expressed with physical strength, with your energy, with your enthusiasm. And that's not in the pop song. And he talks about love that is expressed with your spirit, your soul. And that again is not in the pop song. He says, now this is going to be the mark of a useful life, that you start loving God with the whole of your personality. It's a response of the whole of you to him. And I wonder if that is the mark of your life. And then he says, if that is the mark of your life, then the second thing will also be true. You'll start to love your neighbor, and that means anybody, as yourself. Notice you can love yourself. He never says you mustn't love yourself. He doesn't say you should love yourself more than other people or less than other people. But he does say love other people as yourself. Do you want to do for others what you'd like to do for yourself? Do you care for others as you care for yourself? Do you long to serve other people as you would like yourself to be served? Jesus says that is the mark of a useful life. And this young man who'd been speaking to Jesus said, Master, you're quite right. That is fantastic. I've never heard anybody express the whole of life so simply and so clearly. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're very near, but not quite in. And I wonder if you're one of those who's very near to the kingdom of God. You say, yes, I know that's true. Are you in or just outside? It's so sad that there are some who never take that one step just inside. What did he need to do? He needed to acknowledge that he hadn't begun to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I remember the day when I said, my Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. I've been frittering my affections, my enthusiasm, my energy, my mind on things that are not worthy of them. And I never realized that you were there deserving everything. He should have acknowledged that and said, Lord, I'm ashamed. And secondly, he could have said, Lord, I can't do this unless you help me. And then he'd have been right into the kingdom of God. And you, before you go out of those doors, can say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want to admit that I've never done this, and I want you to start doing this in me now. Pray, as Cliff said. There's a second young man who came running to Jesus. He said, I want life. And I want the kind of life that lasts, eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life, he said. And Jesus turned to him and he said, it's a very simple answer for you. Go and sell everything that you've got and come and follow me. You say, that isn't simple. Just notice, Jesus loved him because he wanted eternal life. Not just physical life, not just intellectual life. He wanted eternal life. That means something that lasts. You know, some people don't bother to think about eternity. I remember seeing a tray of rings in a jeweler's shop, and at the top were the title given to these kind of rings, Eternity Rings. And at the bottom were the words, Guaranteed for 3 years. And I think that's just about as far as a lot of people have got in their thinking about eternity and eternal life. And yet this man said, I want eternal life. And what's more, he said, I've got to inherit this eternal life. That's how he got his money. He inherited it. And he realized he couldn't get this kind of life by his own efforts or his own achievements. It would have to be given to him. And he realized that Jesus was the only person who could give it to him. And so Jesus says, you're on the right track. I love you. And I wonder if Jesus is saying to you, I love you. You're on the right track. You're very near. You want eternal life. And then he said, one thing's lacking. Now, as I've looked at the commentaries and all the books about this story, I find that they've all said one thing. One thing was lacking in this man's life, and they say it's poverty. He hadn't got poverty. That is what was missing. But that's not what Jesus meant. What was lacking in this man's life? I'll tell you one thing. Jesus. And what stopped him having Jesus? Just one thing. His money. He was so concerned with money, he couldn't take interest in Jesus. And I've no doubt that there are some people here to whom Jesus will say, now, until you let go of that, or this, I don't know what it'll be, you can't have me. And until you have me, you won't have life. And I wonder whether this is the time when you must start to say to yourself, what is it that really matters most to me? Do I want to live a useful life? Do I want to have eternal life? Do I want to have Jesus, or do I want to have something else? It's Jesus who says again and again that if you're going to be on the right road, if you're going to produce the right kind of fruit in your life, if you're going to have the right kind of foundation, then you must have him. And I wonder whether this is your opportunity to take him today. Cliff's going to sing a song which he's sung at the end of each of these sessions called Reflections, in which a man looks at the picture of himself and he sees the picture of a fool. And then the reflection changes, the picture of Jesus. And he has to decide which he's going to live for, himself or Jesus. Which does he want to be the mark of his life? And I hope that as he sings, you'll be saying to yourself, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the heart of my life. I want to live for you with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to care for others as myself.
Last night I had a dream. Through a swirling fog, I walked alone on the edge of a stream. I heard somebody groan, I stopped. I looked into a pool, and I saw the reflection of a fool. I saw the reflection of a fool. Dragging him by his throat, with a collar and the links of a chain, on his shoulders a coat, on his feet shoes of pain. The coat was striped, the chain was bright. I saw the reflection and I cried. I saw the reflection and I cried. Tears for myself, the fool, a man chained by independence, gripped by despair so cruel. My life was a lot of nonsense. My eyes were closed, but in my mind I saw the reflection so unkind. I saw the reflection so unkind. Sick of life, scared of death, my days just one long futility. Feeling my emptiness, I cried, God set me free. I looked once more, I don't know how, but I saw the reflection changing now. I saw the reflection changing now. A man was in my place, a man with holes in his hands and side, a man I could not face. The man I had crucified, on him was my coat, my chains and my shoes. And between reflections, I must choose. Between reflections, I must choose. Between reflections, I must choose. Between reflections, I must choose.
Let's say the prayer. Doesn't really matter what Cliff has sung or what I have said. What really matters in life is what you are going to do about Jesus as he stands in front of you and says, will you have life? Will you have me? You can echo this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me. I've lived for myself. I want to live for you. Thank you for taking my past, my sins, on the cross. Please give me your life and show me what I must do if I'm going to be true to you in the coming days. Teach me to trust you, to follow you, to walk with you, and to love you. Thank you. Amen. Jesus has said, he who comes to me, I will never, never cast out. Come to me, and I will refresh you and give you life. Just before you go, may I say one or two things very quickly, very briefly. First, As you go, there are going to be some Bible study notes handed out. Please do take these, and if you'd like to fill in the spaces, send them off to the person, Gordon Bailey, who's produced them. He's a friend of Cliff's. I know him well, too. And he will then do a sort of correspondence course for you if you'd like to follow up what you've been hearing on these Mondays. Secondly, there are bookstores around the place. Do make use of those because it's very helpful to read what you've just heard about. Thirdly, if you'd like to write or get in touch with me or with Cliff or with Ian Barclay or with anybody else, do so. You can't guarantee to get an immediate answer from Cliff, I'm afraid, who has quite enough correspondence as it is, but at least someone will be able to give an answer to any questions you'd like to raise. And then there are people around in here with little white sort of badges on their buttonholes who would also be quite prepared to talk about the Christian life if you'd like to buttonhole them. I think that's the right word. Thank you again very much for coming, and perhaps we'll meet again someday. Goodbye for now.